I work at Burger King making flame whoppers. I wear paper hats. Would you like an apple pie with that? Would you like an apple pie with that? Ding by the dun, ding by the dun, ding by the dun, ding by the dun. I gotta run, I gotta run, I gotta run, I gotta run. Don't buffer fries and hot fat, it really hurt bad and so do skin grab. Would you like an apple pie with that? Would you like an apple pie with that? Where is the bell? Wait for the bell. Can't hear the bell. Where is the bell? Ding by the dun, ding by the dun, ding by the dun, ding by the dun. I work at Burger King making flavor whoppers. I wear paper hats. Would you like an apple pie with that? Would you like an apple pie with that? Ding by the dun, ding by the dun, ding by the dun, ding by the dun.
You're listening to Books, Beer, and Bullshit, the podcast that is constantly worried about who the fuck we're going to upset this week. I am your offensive coordinator, Frank.
I'm in the co-offensive coordinator, Jeff.
Jeff, how are we doing this episode?
Oh, we're recovering. We're recovering from the last calamity.
I'm really excited about this show.
Me too, man. It's like a holiday special.
It is a complete holiday special, and we have just everything is huge this week.
Huge!
Everything.
Huge! Huge gazungas!
We have an interview this week.
Yes, we do.
And we are excited about this interview.
Dude, I was like coming in my pants.
Yes.
I was like humping the chair. I was like rubbing my penis up against my, I don't know what, but like everything.
Yeah. So we have brought in
a new publishing house.
Yes. We've had Armand Rosamilia.
Yes.
We've had Todd Brown.
Yes, we have.
Now we're bringing in the boys. This is a two-person interview.
Tag team effort.
Yes, sir. A two-person interview from Strange House Books.
That would be run by none other than Kevin Strange.
Kevin Strange. Who would have thunk it?
Who would have thunk that he'd name his own imprint after himself?
And we got the Stephen King of Strange House Books, Don Noble.
Don the Hammer Noble.
That's right. We're going to bring on Kevin Strange and Don Noble from Strange House Books. And we're going to talk about a book that you, I'm excited about, but you are like just jizzing all over the walls for.
I am. This is the book of the year. This was the best book, best new book I read all year.
Could this wind up, if we were going to have a new top 10 list, would this already be on it?
This might be cracking into the top 10.
Whoa!
This might be.
All right, so why don't we go ahead and bring on our special guests, Kevin Strange and Don Noble. All right then, welcome to the show, Kevin Strange and Don Noble from Strange House Books.
Hey guys.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, how are you guys doing?
Oh, fucking fantastic, man. You know, doing a thing, living the dream.
All right. So you guys, you popped up on our radar. You have a very plain Jane kind of Bill Johnson kind of name, Kevin Strange, and I almost missed you. So,
right.
And I went and looked up, and sure enough, Kevin Strange of the Illinois Stranges has his own publishing company. I said, fucking hey, let me check out what's going on here. And holy shit, if it just didn't scream like the type of books we read here, Books, Beer, and Bullshit. So I contacted you, man. I said, let's get you on the show because it looks like your shit is fucking cool.
Thank you very much for having us on. We appreciate it. We're pretty new in the game, and you know, shows like this are really going to help us grow our audience. So we really appreciate you guys.
Yeah, absolutely.
Especially when your shit kicks ass. That makes it kind of easy.
Hey, thanks, man. Thanks, guys.
Oh, it was all too easy. We're going to polish your balls up real sweet tonight. All right, so why don't you...
Hey, we're both coming out of relationships, so that would be great.
Oh, yeah, this would be great.
Newly single fat guys in the winter. It's not good.
Advice for the lovelorn. You say you're new to the game, but you're not completely new to the game because, Kevin, you used to do some indie films.
Yeah, I started off making really weird horror comedy films in 2000, started about 2005, released my first feature-length DVD in 2006, and kind of steamrolled through about 2010. I released 7 DVDs through my company, Hack Movies.
All right. And then that has somehow now parlayed itself into a publishing house.
Yeah, I don't know exactly how that worked. I had never written fiction before. I started writing screenplays and just sort of writing screenplays for myself. So they were never really professionally, like professional grade screenplays. They were just what I needed on paper to direct my actors and do my thing. I was the writer, director, actor, editor, the whole shebang at Hack Movies. And I got real burnt out on it. I had done the convention scene for years, and I just did movie after movie after movie. I couldn't find distribution for them. They're just too weird. Just too outside of the mainstream. And so I kind of took a step back in my artistic career in late 2010, early 2011, and really tried to figure out what the hell I was going to do with my life. Because I had been living, breathing, and, you know, everything movies for so long. I started to write fiction just kind of to continue to be artistic, even though I wasn't doing anything professionally at the time. And it sort of grew on me. And I found the hardcore horror and the bizarro genres, and they were literal, like the literary version of the movies that I made. And they seemed to be, for whatever reason, these types of books are more popular than the same type of movies. When you make a movie in the style of like my film Cockhammer, it's very low budget, but it's very bizarre and off the wall and really weird, quirky characters, almost like a live action cartoon. And you take that, you look at something like Carlton Mellick's Ape Shit, and it's virtually the same tone and style, but in the film version, people just look at it as, well, that's a low budget piece of crap. But you look at the book version of it, and as long as you put a cool cover on it, people respond to it. You know what? I'm going to do what I did with movies, but in a literary field, because I think there's a bigger audience for it for whatever reason. So I started the publishing house with my partner Don here. He'd been acting in my movies and stuff before, and he was just real into living and breathing art and being willing to sacrifice to make sure that the books get put out, movies or music or whatever it is that we're doing. So we had a similar starving artist lifestyle. So it really fit. We kind of fit together really well and decided to launch this publishing house and do our thing.
We're really into the Dead Eye Press stuff. Do you think you guys, is that what you guys are going to try to do? Do it like them? Do it better?
Well, what I kind of want to do is I kind of want to encompass all of that. I want to do the hardcore horror like Dead Eye, the bizarro like Eraserhead. But then also, there's the new weird, the Lovecraftian horror that's sort of new weird is kind of put on like a higher, like, oh, this is literary fiction. This is better than that kind of thing with bizarro or hardcore horror. And I kind of want to bring that, kind of knock that off its pedestal a little bit, because I think it's all pretty much the same. They're different little subcategories of the same style of indie horror. So I kind of want to be an umbrella for all kinds of indie horror, not just one specific offshoot of it. Pretty much the whole, like any kind of cult horror, from Lovecraftian to bizarro, hardcore horror, you know, anything like that.
Like, what kind of writers do you have in your stable? And are you looking to maybe add some bigger names to your stable, too, to try and draw more attention?
Definitely, definitely. We're just kind of, like I said, we're pretty new. We're inside of our first year. We published our first book, The Strange Sex Anthology, in March. So we're not even 12 months into this thing yet. And Don and I both have books under the publishing umbrella. And then Don's brother, Kyle, is also published through us. His first novel, Baby Fever, just came out this past month. And then we're circling a few guys. There's a few guys out there that they haven't really been published yet. They're new guys. They've had a few short stories published, but we're looking to put out longer works from them. And they're really fucking weird, really weird dudes with really something really unique to say inside this genre. So we're excited to do that. And then as we sort of, I'm all about paying dues. So however long we have to do this and show people that we're for real and that we've got awesome book covers and our layout and design is professional. And we tour constantly. We did 9 conventions this year selling our books. And I don't want to put, we'll necessarily talk numbers, but we sold a hell of a lot of books, hundreds and hundreds of books this year on the road. And a lot of these smaller publishing houses, they don't have the time or the energy to go out and meet the fans like we do. So as we continue to do this, and as we continue to build our roadshow, and as we continue to sign authors, I'm hoping some of the bigger guys in the genre see that we could bring them on tour with us, and they could really connect to their fans in a way that other publishing houses aren't going to go to bat for them, aren't willing to do for them. That's kind of our business plan as we go forward. So we're definitely looking to sign a lot more authors.
Well, dude, you got a giant sitting right next to you there, man, because that freaking Fear Run of the Dead was like the awesomest book all year. That shit was insane.
Thank you, guys. Thanks.
I guess we got to get into it, bring Don into the conversation. Absolutely, just a fucking nutso zombie book. I mean, we've said it before. We've had a guy on, you know, we were in a space reading zombie books. I'm like, all right, with the fucking zombies. I get it. They're fucking dead. Survive. All right, good, good. And we had this guy, Armand Rosamilli, on and read one of his books, and he kind of twisted it up, and we got a little more excited about it. And Beer Run of the Dead was like, holy crap, like just crack. And what was it that you set out to do? What do you think makes Beer Run of the Dead so more exciting than every other run-of-the-mill zombie story?
I don't know exactly. I can't pinpoint what makes it more exciting, but what really brings people into, I mean, zombies always bring people to the book, but it's the characters that make people. What happened was, it's just the book is completely just, it's so slapstick and just so ludicrous all the way through it that, I mean, it doesn't really give you much time to breathe. And it's just so full of crazy shit. You know, the characters are, the zombies are hardly fucking, I mean, the zombies are zombies, but the characters are just fucked up. And then, but somehow it makes you love it and love the characters. And then by the, when you're getting towards the end, when it's like a reality starting to kick in and they might all die, for some reason that affects people and they fucking love it. You know, I really thought that book was just, it's my baby. So I put a lot of time in fucking, I put a lot of time on semen and booze. And there was a couple times I was writing it, I cried a little bit, you know. It was a good book. It was a good, it was a, mostly most of my party years as a musician and a lot of the time that I spent roofing, all those experiences and hanging out with complete jackass lowlifes, really just kind of bled their way into that book. So I couldn't really say what makes it more exciting, except for that it's completely ludicrous. It's like Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, but on a zombie level, I would say, on certain aspects. It's them all together. It's your typical Bill and Ted or Silent Bob and Jay and all that kind of shit.
They were different kind of characters for a zombie story.
But, yeah.
What I liked about those characters, they were completely jerk-off idiots, but yet they could pull their shit together and get it done. And it gave you like a rooting interest to, for these guys to get their shit together and, you know, get it done.
that's the whole kind of premise of the book, is that it's like this double-edged sword. To like, to stay alive, you have to be shit-faced drunk, but while you're shit-faced drunk, you're making terrible decisions all the time. I think that's the underlying fucking basic premise and plot to it, because like most zombie stories, there's not a whole lot of plot. It's like, yeah, you get to the chopper and then you escape at the end, or you get to an island. And I wanted to do that all completely different. I wanted to make a series of it and kind of really follow these characters into just complete. It's going to get so fucked up. The second book will, you know, Beer Run of the Dead 2, The Pimpocalypse. It'll just be fucked, man. I don't know any other way. It's a fucked up series.
I can't wait for more of that shit. That's for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what else struck me with that book, too, is the way those characters killed some zombies sometimes. There's early on, not to get too spoiled, like he takes some jacks. There's a kid. He takes some jacks out of his, or I'm sorry, not jacks, some 20-sided die from D&D style, and just whips him over his shoulder, and the zombies go falling down Keystone Cop style. And like, you fucking killed some zombies in some fucking very new, cool ways. I totally dug that.
Well, I've been a zombie fan forever, so I've always, like, I spend too much time probably thinking about the zombie apocalypse and creative ways to kill a zombie, because I think that's really, half the time I'm watching a zombie movie anymore, I'm just trying to like, what's a new way they're going to do it? How's a new way they're going to kill a zombie? So I spent quite a bit of time just like jerking off my brain, fucking trying to, it's from zombie fishing to the lady with her umbilical cord caught in the door and all that kind of stuff. It was mostly just me just really trying to gross people out and fucking just be an asshole.
A completely fucking unique killing, man. Just keep up the good work with that, man.
Thanks.
Cool. It's really cool to have him sitting here doing this, because I didn't know when I first asked him to join me on this journey, neither one of us were published writers. He had his career in music and I had my career in movies. And like I said, we just sort of had a mutual passion for living the starving artist lifestyle and really putting everything else. You know, we don't have kids. We don't own homes. So we don't have a lot of responsibilities outside of just making sure the art we're doing is as cool as it could possibly be. And to be able to sit here and listen to you guys praise him over his novel, it's like, I took a chance hooking up with this guy, and it's just, I mean, I couldn't be happier a year into it, and I know I made the right choice hooking up with this dude and moving forward with this company. I'm real proud of what he's accomplished on the road this year. He actually has more books out than I do. I spent the year sort of building the infrastructure for the company, and he's been writing, and people are responding so well to him. What I told him at one of the last shows was, if we had come out of the gate with the same amount of books and gone on the convention circuit where I was a veteran for 5 years, he might have been overshadowed by my books, by my fans and people who knew me by my face, knew me by my name. They might have bought my books just because they were comfortable with me and overlooked his stuff. But since I took him on the road and showcased him and his books without having anything of my own to sell, really, it opened him up to a big fan base. And it's just awesome going back through the different cities that we go to and seeing people come up, and people are really big on his short story collection, Scary Fucking Stories. Listening to people talk to him about his novel, it's like, yeah, this was the right guy to go into business with, for sure.
You know, rub Don's balls enough. I also read recently Robomb Apocalypse by you, Kevin. And I got to say, you know, you can ride Don's words into the sunset, but you're not too shabby yourself with the words, too. So
thank you. Well, did you read the short version or the longer version with the prologue and the epilogue?
I don't remember.
There's a version of it that starts with Robama all broken apart, getting cleaned.
I didn't read that part. One, no.
I put it out originally for 99 cents as like, I think it was 80 pages. That's the one that you probably read.
And
I re-released it about a month later. It's 127 pages now. It's $2.99 now. It's a little bit longer. It's got a prologue and an epilogue. They don't really change anything about the story. It just adds a little more to Robama's character.
Very cool.
So you gave it a second term.
I gave him a second term. That was a cool story to write, man. That it was originally supposed to be. We just released an anthology called Zombie Zombie Brain Bang. And I've had this big problem this year with when I sit down to write at like a 5,000 to 8,000 word short story, which would translate to, you know, between 15 and 30 pages, I end up with a 16 or 25,000 word novella. And that's what happened with Robomb Apocalypse. It was originally supposed to be my entry for the Bizarro Zombie anthology. And it just got, I think I wrote the damn thing in like 5 weeks. I fucking blazed through it. But I kept telling the guys, like, man, this is getting too long. It's getting too long. Oh. And it got to the point where it was just too long to include in the anthology. It was 80 pages. I wasn't going to, you know, take up 80 damn pages of an anthology. So I ended up breaking it apart and putting it out as an ebook. And it was just going to stay an ebook. But I was like, you know what? This is so cool. I'm going to do a prologue and epilogue. I'm going to release it in paperback. So that's what I did. And it was just a lot of fun to write, man. I don't know what it was about. I mean, I love to write. I write every day, but those characters were just really fun to get into. And like the whole like espionage that's going on and the assassination attempts against Obama and trying to figure out which character is actually the assassin, the terrorist that's trying to kill him. I just had a lot of fun with it.
Yeah, it was definitely totally something different. And I was a little apprehensive at first. You know, it was the heat of the political season. I'm like, this guy with this fucking Obama, I don't want to get into anything political. You know, whatever. Right. But, you know, I finally just, I'm like, I got to read it. And it's totally not political whatsoever. And it's like a giant robot Obama versus a giant zombie Voltron fight. It was fucking crazy, man. And I loved it. Absolutely.
I don't have any political affiliation. So I knew people were going to be like, oh, this guy's going to talk on Obama right here before the election. And that wasn't my intention at all. We had actually also talked about doing a Barack Obama anthology to release in time for the election, just to capitalize on the popularity of politics, and where it was called Barack Obama, Savior of the Universe. And it was going to be the anthology theme was every story had to have Barack Obama as the protagonist, no matter what else happened. That had to be that was key to the anthology. And that we didn't end up getting enough interest in it. Nobody wanted to write that bullshit. So when I started writing, I actually had an idea. My idea for the Barack Obama anthology was to do a story about Barack Obama during his second term in an alternate history where he's in the South and he's got a super hot female head of security and he's with his daughters. And the Ku Klux Klan descends on his caravan, kills everybody, murders his head of security in front of him, kidnaps his daughters and cuts his hands off and leaves him for dead. And it's like an exploitation grindhouse 70s type of story where he ends up getting rescued and nursed back to health and given metal hands. And he uses his metal hands to go after the Ku Klux Klan and get his daughters back. That was my idea for the Barack Obama anthology. And since it didn't come to fruition, I still sort of had it in the back of my head. So when I wrote Obama Apocalypse, I was originally it was called like Zombie Fighting Championship was what the like tentative title for it was. And as I started to write it and outline it, I was like, well, what if Obama is the evil dictator that's controlling this whole thing? Then it'll still be political. It'll still have, you know, it'll still take advantage of the height of the political season and still be fun. And so I actually incorporated the metal hands and everything. So Obama Apocalypse is actually like a sequel to Afro Obama, and it'll be, I've got a Bizarro, it's called Bizarro Obama. It'll actually be a trilogy of novels, It's Afro Obama, Obama Apocalypse, and then Obamageddon, the third and final book in the series.
What are you on, dude, man?
Oh, man, I don't even – I hardly drink, believe it or not.
Yeah, actually, I'm the drinker. Kevin's very straight-laced. If you look at the guy, you're like, this guy's probably a wreckin' but he's actually at his shit together where I'm sexy, but I just – fuck, I just drink.
I'm sexy.
I'm just so terrible.
No, what I do is I like to – like, what the main inspiration for Robot Apocalypse was, I sat down and watched a bunch of Japanese exploitation movies like Tokyo Gore Police and Meatball Machine versus Machine Girl. There's like a whole subgenre of just crazy, whacked out for gore exploitation Japanese films. And they just – every one of them tries so hard to top the next with just crazy violence, over-the-top crazy martial arts and violence. So I just sat down and watched a whole bunch of those and then wrote Robot Apocalypse.
Writing this stuff is a lot easier for you to play with than making, you know, the limitations you have with making low budget films.
Oh, for sure, man, for sure. That's why I'm so excited about this publishing house, is because when I wrote movies, I always had to write to the budget, and the budgets for my films were like $500. So no matter what I wanted to do, I always had to write to that budget. I knew if I wrote outside the budget, I was going to go to film and just be fucked. Filmmaking has come a long way, even in the 5 years since I was doing it. It's a lot easier to do green screen, do motion capture. There's all kinds of stuff you can do now for hardly any budget, as long as you have After Effects and you're pretty savvy with an editor. Those tools weren't available to me even 5 years ago. But from that perspective, I was always like, I always felt artistically limited in what I could write about. And getting into fiction, I don't have a budget. I can write anything I want to. I can write a giant robot Barack Obama versus a giant, you know, zombie made of zombies, and it doesn't matter. There's no budget. I don't have to worry about it. So it's, you know, the more I write, and the because I've only been writing fiction for, I guess, just over 2 years now. The longer I do it, the more I let myself go, and the bigger in scope and weirdness I let the stories and books get. I've actually just finished my first novel. It's not published yet. It's called Vampire Guts in Nuketown. And it's a post-apocalyptic vampire novel that's just fucking crazy with all kinds of ridiculous things that go on in it. And again, it's just from being able to finally realize, like, do anything you want to, dude. It's all up to you. The only limitation is your own imagination. And I don't have a fucking limitation. I fucking love writing, man. I love making movies, but I absolutely love writing fiction. This is so much cooler than making low-budget films. If I had $1 million, I'd be able to just make these. I'd be able to write, you know, Robot Apocalypse would be a script, and I'd make the movie. But since I don't have that, I get to write it as a book, and that's just fine with me. And like I said earlier, there's a bigger audience for it. I sell more copies of that shit than I ever did on my movies, for whatever, you know. People like to say that, you know, nobody reads. Everybody's fucking reading, man, with Kindle and cheap ass books. Like, you're hard pressed to find a horror fan that's not reading. You know, we see them on the road, and they're the minority, though. The minority of people that walk up to our table go, I don't know how to read. You know, maybe 20 people will say that to us all weekend, but the majority of the people there, they fucking love reading. They love reading weird, twisted shit like we put out. And that's so encouraging, because I was on the road for a long time and motherfuckers weren't buying my movie.
I can tell you, I'd rather read a bizarro book than watch a bad, you know, low budget movie. Shit's all in my head, you know. It's your story, but it's in my head.
Yeah, it gets to be as cool as you want it to be. Your only limitation as the reader is your imagination.
Yeah, we call them movie books.
Yeah, that's what. Yeah, we call them movie books in your headpiece.
Yeah, it totally works. And I guess because you come from that movie aspect, a lot of, you know, like Beer Run of the Dead read like a movie. I saw it as a movie.
It was actually, when I first wrote it, I had a connection with Curious Films, and I was recording through Arsenic Records, and I had an animator named Rich Moyer. And what happened was, I started talking to that guy and then met up with the Flying McCoys, who are like syndicated, like, Disney artists and work for DreamWorks and all kinds of shit. And I was like, holy shit, I'm talking to some big guys here, you know. Like, I started pitching some ideas after I brought up a portfolio of my art. And I told him about Beer Run of the Dead. And Rich Moyer thought it was fucking hilarious. And he was like, do you have a script? So I lied through my teeth. I was like, yeah, give me a couple weeks to make sure it's all, like, you know, prim and proper, and I'll send it to you. So I fucking went home. And for 2 weeks, I busted balls and I wrote Beer Run of the Dead as a screenplay. And me being a nobody, eventually Curious Films basically just told me to, you know, get the fuck out of here. We don't know who you are. Fuck, what do I do with this script? This is an awesome script, you know? And then I ended up meeting up with Kevin. We were both writing fiction, and I turned the goddamn thing into a novel. And want it to be a movie someday, but we just don't have that kind of funds right now. So it feels good as a book.
Yeah, I can't wait for the next installment. When's that shit coming out?
Next year. I'm guessing sometime late next year.
You know, the freaking Walking Dead's making me wait till February. Now you're making me wait till next summer for another. You people are killing me.
It takes a bit.
Yeah, I know. It takes a
bit. We got a lot of stuff in the hopper getting ready to come out in the next few months. Plus, like I told you guys earlier, a couple authors that are going to give us some pretty twisted stuff too. So 2013 is going to be a big year for us. Really 6 paperbacks this year. We're easily going to release 12 next year. Easily. If we don't even try very hard, we'll release 12.
Go ahead, Jeff. Find that the ebooks and all that stuff makes publishing, you know, a little easier?
I tell you what, man, putting together an ebook compared to putting together a paperback is like night and day. Have an ebook put together in about 4 hours and published and online and ready to read 12 hours later, where it takes me at least a week to format and prepare a paperback. Then I have to order a proof, wait till it gets mailed to me, read through the whole thing, make sure I didn't fuck anything up. And it's a royal pain in the ass. And that's just from the publishing perspective. From the audience perspective, from the fan perspective, I mean, this shit's so fucking cheap. You get them, you know, you're going to be hard pressed to find an ebook that costs more than $2.99 or $3.99. And a lot of them cost only 99 cents. And that, you know, I was scared of that at first because it seems like it really decreases the value of the product. And I don't want people, you know, dropping 99 cents as an impulse buy on my book and it getting put with 10,000 other books on their Kindle and never read. What's the point of that? So for a lot of the year, I was real hesitant to put our stuff on Kindle. But once I did, and once I started from all of our short stories and short story collections and anthologies, we've got little 99 cent short stories that we put up as well. And it's just that shit. We sell like 10 to 1 what we sell in paperback. And it's really, there's only a couple bucks difference between what we make in profit because the overhead on an ebook is so low, and the Amazon's real good about giving you the majority of the profit on that. So, you know, I've actually relaxed and become a lot more enthusiastic about the ebooks.
I started, you know, following you guys over the summer, just watching what you're doing, and that was the first thing I noticed is, you know, you guys were definitely on the convention circuit hardcore with print books. And you were very, very light on the ebooks. But I mean, even though you're embracing the ebooks big time now, you seem to be doing very well just touring those conventions.
And that's something that a lot of publishers aren't doing. But I think it's so important to go out there and sign books, man. People love signed books. They love autographs and they love meeting the author. They love doing shots with us or drinking beers with us. They absolutely love it. Our biggest problem going on isn't money. It isn't travel. It's getting too fucking drunk at the table with our fans. I mean, literally me and Don had a talk after this last show where I was like, Don, we got to stop drinking so much at these shows.
Man, you sign my book and it's just like a little squiggle.
Exactly. I very often forget how to sign my name.
It's been so drunk.
That's what I was saying to us. Conversation. I was like, man, we sold this many books. Imagine what we would have done if we weren't retarded drunk the whole weekend. We like to bring about a gallon of vodka. We usually bring about 2 half-gallon bottles of vodka, and we just start in as soon as we get there. And our fans are accustomed to it now. We had a guy, one of our fans came up to us. We were in Chicago 2 weeks ago, and we were already drunk. Like, we were already drinking. We broke into our half-gallon of vodka at, like,
4.
What time did we start? Like, 4 in the afternoon on Friday. The show started at 4 in the afternoon on Friday. We broke into our vodka, and one of our fans came up, and we were already getting pretty lit up. We were already pretty buzzed when this guy came over. But we were cutting our vodka with Sierra Mist. And this guy comes up with apple flavored vodka and pours us all glasses of it. And we're all sitting there just doing shots of this. And a couple minutes later, we realize, like, just because this is flavored like apple doesn't mean it's not straight vodka. We're doing vodka shots. And I ended up trashed, absolutely wasted at 9 p.m. The show didn't end till 11. And I just sort of got up and said, the room's spinning, I'm going to bed. And the next, I don't remember walking to the hotel room. I just remember waking up. They came back from the show. They threw the money bag at me and they go, let's go to the dance party. I didn't get out of bed. I was in bed for 12 hours being wasted all night. It was not a good night for me.
Yeah.
Excuse me for a second, Kevin. Jeff?
Yeah.
We're starting writing that fucking book tomorrow because I got a party like this shit.
Yeah, right.
Fuck this shit.
Yeah, fuck it.
Conventions are fucking awesome, man. Like, Don didn't even know they existed until I started bringing them out to him.
Yeah. I just, this whole year has just been like my cherry getting popped. I was like, this shit exists? You know, I was like, what the fuck? I'm like, I've been playing shows for a long time, but I was just in the music field. And I'm like, I was like, why can't every day be Halloween? And that's exactly what fucking got the convention circuit is. It's like every fucking day is Halloween.
But what we normally do is we just do the 80s horror movies and memorabilia circuit, which is what I did as Hack Movies. And it's mainly like basically like a big 3-day autograph collection party where they get big names from horror movies. Like one of the big, like the people that were at this show, there was a Fright Night cast reunion from the 1980s movie Fright Night. There was there was a They Live reunion with Roddy Piper and Keith David. You basically just buy this ticket for the weekend for Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and you go around and get autographs from all these celebrities. And then douchebags like us set up like a flea market. And you just, there's artists, there's filmmakers, there's musicians, there's writers like us. But really, there's not a lot of writers like us. There's, you know, not a lot of competition out there for our particular type of product. So we really pretty much get to run the house. And the couple of shows that we have done with other authors, they've been like totally dorky fucking sci-fi fantasy, like, you know, 40-year-old dudes. They're like, this is my steampunk submarine adventure set in 1872. He'll be set up right next to us, and we have girls getting wasted half naked hanging out with us. We play music. I mean, it's so much fucking fun, man.
You got a lot of books coming out. You've been hinting at them, and you're going to do the whole, you're going to continue touring big time. What other plans do you have to just expand your brand over the next year?
Well, where I think we're weakest still is, I think we're still weakest on the internet. We do a lot of live stuff, and we finally started to get our Kindle stuff going. But there's a lot of potential in internet marketing for authors that we haven't tapped into yet at all. So we're going to spend. I told Don, like, I wanted to spend 2012 really setting up and getting Strange House Books ingrained in the convention circuit and getting people comfortable and familiar with our brand. And then I was going to take 2013 and really start focusing on the internet. But then also at live shows, one of the things we've only had an opportunity to do once is do live readings. And I'm going to be really pushing our booker to make sure that whatever shows we do next year, we get an hour block to read our stuff out loud. Because when we did it the first time, you can actually go to our YouTube page, youtube.com/Kevin Strange, and you can see readings that we've actually got. We've got a strip reading. Damona Murder, she reads Don's story Cinnamon from Strange Sex. And then we also did our own live readings at a show at Fright Night Film Fest over the summer where we actually got to read excerpts from our stuff live. And that, to me, is a really important way to connect with your fans. And just putting out a fucking shitload of books, man. A shitload of them.
Let us retire and go to Mexico and die from STDs and stuff yet.
Tuberculosis.
Leprosy.
That's what we were talking about tonight. We were talking about we need to sell enough books next year to take a vacation to Mexico and get tuberculosis and leprosy. Bring it back to our ex-girlfriends is what we wanted to do, actually.
Yeah.
Like he said earlier, we both just went through some pretty intense breakups.
Well, he did. Mine was pretty easy because I'm just dead inside.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I'm on some Shakespeare shit, man. I don't know. Somebody's going to get hurt.
I gotta say, yeah. I mean, you're out there. It's on your sleeve out there on Facebook. You went through some shit, huh?
Yeah, man. Some. You know, I like to. It's not all about promoting books, man. You gotta. One of the things about being a personality that you know makes movies or sells books or whatever. You gotta let people know who you are, man. And sometimes, you know, you don't want to name names or really you know bury people in the public eye, but you gotta let everybody know what's up. You got to let people know what's going on in your life, good and bad. And that's my opinion, at least. It gets people comfortable with who you are as a person, and they can relate to your work better that way. So I'm never afraid to talk about what's going on in my personal life. It's all going to be in the fiction anyway. You're going to end up reading about what just happened in, you know, probably next year in a book anyway. So
what the hell? Let it rip.
Kill that bitch. Kill that bitch.
We actually had to fire one of our partners over it. So it did have something to do with our publishing house. So it, you know, I felt like it needed to be talked about. Otherwise people were going to be like, what happened to that other guy?
All right. We got to do one more thing on this podcast, Books, Beer and Bullshit. We are into the cyber goth dancing kind of shit. It was a whole episode and everything. And then you guys got this book called Strange Sex out, an anthology book, but right there on the front cover is this chick who looks like every cyber goth dancing chick I've ever seen in my life. Is there like some kind, do you have a thing for this shit too or what?
Well, that girl on the cover model, is my good friend Triple Six, who is one of the originators of that style of the fake dreadlocks and the fuzzy boots. She's been doing that for about over 10 years. And she's like a huge mega famous internet personality from St. Louis. And she's actually in my movie, Nixon and Hogan Smoke Christmas, as the witch Sarsaparilla. And I'm actually writing a story. Very first time I've done a crossover for my universe, my Hack Movies Strangeville universe and my Strange House Books universe. Sarsaparilla is actually coming back in a Christmas story for a little mini anthology we're doing for free that we're going to put up on Christmas Day at strangehousebooks.com. But yeah, the reason she looks like that is because every girl on the internet that is into that shit wants to be her.
We like that.
We're big fans of the cyber goth. Not that we goth out ourselves, but
you just like hard.
We like
half naked girls in tiny skirts with fucking their titties hanging out and dancing. I can dig that too.
Yeah, I think we can all agree. I think we need to start our own country.
We should have goth penises. We should all dress our penises up like that.
I got to tell you a little side story. I was down in Florida a couple of months ago, and I was in Universal Studios walking around the Harry Potter land there. And I'm walking through, and we'd done our little shows on the Cyber Goth Chicks. And I'm walking around, you know, Harry Potter's castle, and all of a sudden one of these fucking chicks walks by in just midnight black with the freaking, like, tinsel in her fucking hair and the fuzzy boots, the whole nine. I was like, and I looked at my daughter, my 17-year-old daughter, and we both looked at each other at the same time and go, "Cyber Goth!" And, like, we turned around and, like, tried to chase this chick through the park. And I'm trying to grip my phone out of my pocket. But, oh, she was fast, man. She was fast. I couldn't catch up. All right, but I got a couple of pictures, you know, like 50 yards down, man. I could not catch up with her.
Yeah, our buddy Damona Murder, she dresses like that, too. If you watch the strip tease from Cinnamon, she's wearing the fuzzy boots and the little mini skirt and everything.
Yeah, reading a story about wiener penises, and it's just so weird. She's so hot, and she's dressed just like the cover model almost.
Boners. Tons of boners.
Just on her bone.
Cyber goth boners.
Are we really doing this? Is this our job?
Is this what we do for a living?
Jeff, tomorrow, I want 5,000 words, all right?
We got a lot more of those planned, man. That was one of our big things, one of the big gimmicks that I wanted to use for Strange House was all of our – because we're both friends with tons of fucking hottie alternative girls like that. And they're all into doing photo shoots and doing all kinds of stuff. And they've got no problem doing, you know, strip teases like that. We've been so fucking busy, these books out and doing these shows. Like, it's busy in a positive way. You know, the fact that we can't get to doing more strip shows is just because we're working so fucking hard.
Oh, the sacrifice is no strippers.
Exactly, man. Exactly.
Well, we got a stripper for you. Have you ever heard of Draven Starr?
No.
You're going to have to find Draven Starr. She's newly out of a job. She just got fired from her last book deal. So, you know, she might want to appear on some more book covers now. She's free.
Does she have a YouPorn page?
She's on X-Hamster.
Oh, that's my favorite. Yeah.
Excellent.
I'll plug it right now. Go to thedoomdoll.com.
I'm gonna jerk my cyber goth penis off to that tonight.
Oh, it's all good. Yeah.
It's kind of just devolving now, huh?
Yeah, yeah. We're getting into the dark spot.
All right, thanks, guys.
Yeah, thank you, man. That was a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, we had a fucking ton of fun, man. Yeah. We gotta get and we'll definitely have you guys back on whenever you're.
Dude, they're gonna be too big for our little shit in a couple months, man.
Yeah,
these guys are going places.
They fucking are, and they better. They deserve it.
That, man, but we'll always do shows like this, man. It takes, you know, I learned a long time ago from the indie horror movie circuit that the journalists are just as fucking important as the artists, man. You guys get our names out there and you lend legitimacy to what are otherwise just a couple of broke douchebags sitting in a basement right now. If it wasn't for you guys, we'd just be nobody.
No, we're just two fucking broke douchebags in our basement also.
That's what makes it cool.
Literally. But no, you guys are awesome and your shit is awesome, and I'm looking forward to reading more of your guys' stuff.
Thank you, man.
Thank you, guys. It's appreciated.
All right, man. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks a lot again, man. You guys have a great night.
So there it is, man. Don Noble, Kevin Strange. What a fucking interview.
Dude, Strange House Books fucking rocks out.
You guys got to get on board with this. Constant listeners, we are not kidding.
Beer Run of the Dead, the greatest book of the year. Just greatest book maybe ever.
Start there. And already, Strange House has a pretty good catalog amassed. There's about 8 books, full-length novels and short story collections. And as Kevin Strange said, they got about 12 more books coming next year. Plus, they got out of like their anthologies, they got 99-cent e-books.
Yeah, you can't go wrong 99-cent read, man. No. You can never go wrong with that. Plus, what? Check out his videos. He's got videos for sale.
Videos up
stuff
on YouTube. Videos well, he used to do movies. They're kind of hard to find now. They're out of print and stuff.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you're into that
hey,
kind
man,
of stuff.
Ask for it. I'm sure he could cut you some, man, for
yeah,
a couple
man.
Bucks.
Well, you never know. The price is right for everybody. And yeah. Let me tell you something, too. A little pluggy plug here from him. Go to strangehousebooks.com. That's their website. You can check out all their stuff. And for Christmas, they got a cool special running. You're going to get six of their books, paperback.
Like hard copies.
Hard physical copies.
Dude, like old-fashioned turn the page?
That's right. And he's going to sign each one of them personally to you, and he's going
to
give you...
What if I don't want it to me? What if I want it, say, to you?
However you want it.
I get him signed, dear, my dearest Frankels.
Yes.
And then he'll sign Kevin Strange.
However you want it, he's going to give it to you.
Dude, I'm ordering this just to make him sign some crazy shit for me.
Fuck yeah. So he's going to get the six books signed up, personalized. You're going to get a free T-shirt. Well, I shouldn't say free. It's in the package. Six books, T-shirt, signed up, personalized, $50.
$50?
Jesus Christ.
Dude, I'm doing it. I want to lick your Italian meatballs. Love, Kevin Strange. Think he'll do that?
He absolutely will do it.
I bet he would, man. He's that type of guy.
He's that type of Indian.
He is.
StrangeHouseBooks.com is their website. You can find him on Facebook, facebook.com/StrangeHouseBooks. Follow him on Twitter, @KevinTheStrange. And definitely check out YouTube. Look up Strange House Books. They got,
yeah,
a, lot
they got
cool,
a lot of cool shit.
Yeah, like from their cons, they put together cool like vlogs.
Yeah.
Other cons, so that's fun to watch, too.
Hey, come see what everybody looks like, right?
Fuck yeah. And that's it, man. So thanks a lot to Kevin Strange and Don Noble. Bad
guys, thanks, man. That was the best shit fucking ever.
Okay, it's time for some beat.
What do we have this week, Frankels?
We have some Mamma Mia pizza beer.
We found the pizza beer. On short notice, too. I mean, we didn't have much time to work with.
Oh, man. We heard about this. Somebody posted it on Facebook and pizza beer. We got to get us some of that.
Dude, I went down to my fucking local greatest Indian supplier.
Yes.
And he hooked me right up.
Fucking A.
They were actually sold out. He got it for me next day.
All right. So we do have a pizza beer.
We do have a pizza beer. And we have a guest in studio today.
We do.
We have the beer meister. He is
the meister of beer.
The beer palooza.
He is... excitement personified.
Excitement.
He is a firecracker of brewing.
He's the M80.
Yes.
Of the beer industry. He's a beer industry insider himself.
He is.
Without further ado, the beer meister.
Hey.
Perfect!
All right, beer meister. You got to allow us a second here to scream. And it's pizza beer. So guess what we're screaming in?
Oh, we're screaming in Italiano.
Ah, crap. I set up Romanian.
Nah. Oh, shite.
Assaggiare la mia polpette piccante.
Osomo caslatte.
Assaggiare la mia polpette piccante.
Osomo caslatte.
Assaggiare la mia polpette piccante.
Osomo cosi salate.
Ah, baffanculo, eh?
Ragu.
Good job. Good job. So, what can you tell us about pizza beer from Mamma Mia?
Well, Mamma Mia's pizza beer. That's all they brew is Mamma Mia's pizza beer.
Right.
They're not a brewery.
Right.
They're not a micro. Well, maybe they are a micro brewery.
Right.
But it seems that like they had some leftover ingredients and decided to seep pizza into the beer.
God bless them. What an interesting concept.
It did say it's margarita style pizza.
Ale brewed with oregano, basil, tomato, and garlic. How can this not be awful?
How can it not be? I don't know. What's your opinion?
We'll see. I've drank plenty of good beers with you guys. I guess it's probably time for bed.
You haven't joined us on Books, Beer, and Bullshit. We're going to drink that way, Mr. Beermeister. Again, he's Jeff, strap him to the chair. He's about to pop out of it. You know what we got to do? We're going to have to open this pizza beer to get at it. So there's only one way. We open beers here.
There is. There's only one way. And that's with what?
The bottle wrench.
The bottle wrench. It fucking opens up anything. It'll open up your fucking guts and rip out your fucking insides, and you'll look like a fucking pizza. High tensile strength and
Torque. Fuck plenty of torque.
Plenty of torque.
Torque out the wazoo.
Dude, it makes awesome stocking stuffer.
Oh, yeah. Christmas
last
is upon
chance.
Us.
Last chance of stocking stuffers.
That's right. What do I get? What do I get for the guy who has everything? He don't got no fucking bottle wrench.
He ain't got no bottle wrench. There ain't no bottle wrench up on his pegboard, no, sir. Not yet. Not like this one. There may be wrenches. There may be bottle openers, but there is no bottle wrench up there.
And you're like, Jesus, I just can't afford stocking stuffers. I've paid so much for the Wii U, and now I am broke. Well, guess what?
What?
You... You have come to what the fuck are we at? Where were we?
The code.
The code. Yeah. Oh shit. Alright, look, the code. Give him the code.
Give him the code. BBBS show. That's 3 B's, 1 S.
And a show.
And a show. BBBS show. 15% off. It's like getting free shipping almost.
It's almost like that. It's
almost.
And that's your entire order.
BottleWrench.com. Get it while
get
you
it.
Can.
Get this get pizza, it. Beer, opens all.
We should let our in-guest studio open up the beer.
That sounds great. And
alrighty, it's time to try out that bottle wrench.
Go ahead for it, beer meister.
Go for it, beer
easy,
meister.
Easy. Settle down. You got to sit down doing it. Get him off the ceiling. But wait a minute. There you go. So easy, a beer meister could do it.
Was that like butter?
It was like...
That was like butter.
Yeah, it was like butter. It was like olive oil.
Pour some of that out into the cups.
Yeah, let's see how this badass shit looks. We got red cups here. I can't see how they're pouring.
Yeah,
but this is a professional. He's already tilting the cup going down the side of the glass. I'm getting a professional pour here today.
Yeah, not one of my pours where it spills over.
No. Kind of throw it in there. He's really releasing the aroma. He's getting the metachlorians. What are you getting?
I'm getting something already.
I'm working on a bit of a head cold here. I don't know how my taste buds are going to be today. So it's a good thing we have you and the beer meister here today.
I'm getting a stench.
All right.
Of something.
All right, so we are poured up. You ready? You ready for the Jeffrey signature sniff?
I'm ready for the signature sniff. Wait,
I'm smelling some beer in the air, but I haven't.
Holy shit. It smells like Michelob and pizza.
Beer Meister, what do you smell?
Very skunky beer for some reason out of a brown bottle.
Are you picking up pizza?
Not really.
No, I'm not picking up. It smells like a...
You got to get it on the second or third sniff. You got to go...
Well, there's definitely no pizza jumping out of this cup at you.
I don't know, man. It's kind of weird. We're just going to have to.
Here it goes. Mamma Mia Pizza Beer. It says it's a beer so good, it deserves a wine glass. But we're drinking out of Red Solo cups.
Because that's how we roll.
Well, that hits your tongue funny.
Kind of has some, like, jumped up fizz to it.
I tasted the beer at first. Then as I was swallowing, that oregano definitely hit. And then it was like an Elio's pizza sitting on my tongue for a few seconds. But then that goes away quick, too. It all happens very fast. It's a very fast beer. The pizza flavor is there.
I believe it is there.
It's like boxed pizza, though. It's a funny... It's not bad. It's not disgusting.
No.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
But not good, either.
No.
I'm a little disappointed it didn't give us, like, really the heinous, like...
Yeah, it's not heinous. You would think this would be gross.
You would think this would be gross. Kind of grows on you.
It does, doesn't it? Son of a bitch. Beer Meister, calm down. Put a leash on this guy. He's running around in circles.
Really not all that great.
There it is. Beer Meister says really not all that great.
That's because it's not all that great.
I got nothing.
Beer Meister, get him a litter box.
They should make it like in different like flavors. Like you get pizza beer with the works.
You think this would be more disgusting if they did, you know, like a pepperoni?
Nah, anchovies.
Anchovy. Yeah. Listen up, Mamma Mia Pizza Beer.
Make something interesting. Throw some anchovies in there. Do you know what we need to do?
What do we need to do?
This is what we need to do.
Uh-oh. Arts and crafts time?
Anchovy and sardine beer.
I have anchovy oil upstairs.
Fuck yeah. It's time. It is time.
It's been a while since we've played with our beer. We got it.
We got it.
All right.
Figure
it out. I got us some anchovy oil. I got a jar of anchovies.
And we
took
a little
some
oil
out of there. We could have put a couple of drops in a can of, or in a cup of beer.
Well, you need to. Can I just smell the anchovy
here,
paste?
Here, have some
oil because I do not like anchovy.
Oh, you're not going to like the smell of this.
Oh, that's fucking bait. That's fucking chum. I'm going to put chum into my pizza beer. Really? Do I have to do this?
Oh, yes.
Whose fucking idea was this? This wasn't my idea.
It was altogether organic. I think you suggested playing with our food. We're going to do this. Beer Meister, get him over here. He's doing something in the corner there. Get him over here. Beer Meister.
Stop it.
Beer Meister, we need a new pour.
All right, what do you say? How many drops per cup? Like, say, like 2 drops?
Yeah, we'll start out at 2. The Beer Meister is a big fan of
the anchovy oil is floating on top. We're going to have to emulsify it.
You have to.
Pass the bottle wrench. Think the bottle wrench could stir this?
Here. Take the spoon.
I don't want the whole spoonful.
Sure you do.
You use it first,
pal. I like extra anchovies. Like that movie. Extra anchovies.
I hate anchovies.
Oh, yeah. Now we got some fucking...
Holy crap, the whole beard's like fizzing out.
Now we got it.
Now I smell nothing but anchovies.
This is the beer we wanted.
This is the beer we wanted. All right.
Are you ready? Are you going to delay now?
No, I'm not going to delay.
No? Going in? You going to man up?
I'm twisting this mic around so Beer Meister gets on.
Okay. Beer Meister, let's go.
I don't know if I'm going in.
You're going in.
You're going in. We're all going in.
This is, you know, you made a commitment.
Ready, steady, Freddy. Go.
Oh, yeah, that's pizza and anchovies. Oh, yeah. Now we made this podcast beer. Jeff just went back in. You actually had a line of Juul from your lips to the cup off of that one.
I did.
I make it a point to order pizza without anchovies.
And my beer without anchovies, too, please.
That's great. That's just great.
This is fucking great. That was just so fucking great. Thanks, Frank. Great idea, Frank.
We drank anchovy pizza beer.
So
you don't have to. All right. It's time for some bullshitting, sir. Hey. The Beer Meister's clawing up the walls. Goddamn, can't bring him nowhere.
Death to Smoochie.
Yeah. Whoa. Jesus. Just settle down. Jesus. Take that microphone out of his hand. All right.
Well,
uh-huh.
It happened again.
Uh-huh.
There I am at bowling.
Oh, no.
And my own teammate.
No. Oh, there's a bleep.
Calling him out by name. Shows me the goddamn Facebook.
Oh, no.
The bitch
no.
face. And he goes, look. And
oh, no.
It's a nice little picture.
And his phone.
Like a greeting card.
Did his phone go sailing across the alley?
Who's telling the story? Me or you? And there it is. It's the greeting card. And it says, if bras are the over-the-shoulder boulder holder, are men's underwear the up-the-crack nut sack? I looked at him.
That's witty.
I looked at his patheticness. It said, motherfucker, please. And I went to bowl because there was just nothing.
No?
I had nothing.
How did you hold yourself back?
Years of training, sir.
Years of training, sir.
I can't believe that. Does nobody know? Is this a mystery? Could you not show me your fucking bitch face?
Let's see. I'm gonna go on bitch face right now. I'm gonna scroll down to the first one of those silly pictures I read, and I'm gonna read it to you. Oh, this isn't even supposed to be funny. This is one of those political messages. Ready? Some people are fat, and some people are thin. So what? Beauty comes in all shapes and sizes. Everybody is beautiful in their own way.
Said the fat, ugly bitch. Shut the fuck up already.
Here's one that says, that awkward moment when you've already said what 3 times and still have no idea what the person said. So you just agree. Why? Why?
Why? Why? I said it 3 times. Just fucking agree with me, bitch. Tell a woman with 2 black eyes.
Not that she's already been told twice.
There you go.
Speaking of a woman with 2 black eyes who's already been told twice, you know, we haven't spoken about our unofficial official porn store, Books, Beer, and Bullshit in a while. So I'd like to have a Draven Star update. And I think it's situation critical here. I went to thedoomdoll.com. And right there on the front page, I think I want to start a charity. There's a picture of Draven Star's legs. Hold on, I'm breaking up here. And they're all bruised. They're bruised badly. It's on her inner thighs. It's on her shins. I want to start a charity, and I want to buy shin guards. for the doom doll because I can't take this.
Oddly enough, her knees aren't bruised.
She has knee pads. Don't be silly, Beermeister. Hey, don't do cartwheels down here. It's not safe. You know what? I think we should talk about the dank. Jeff keeps talking about the dank, and nobody knows what the fuck you're talking about. And now,
let me tell you about the dank.
We're at my studios, quote unquote. We record either in Jeff's house, in Jeff's basement, or in my basement.
The dank.
And you know, if you hear Jeff saying that we're in the dank, any reference to dank, we're in my basement.
The dank.
Because my basement has you know, it's old and it's musty
and it is
danky. So fortunately, we're in the cooler weather now. In the summer, it is kind of brutal down here. And it's not really as bad in the cooler weather, but...
What's nice about the dank is it goes away after about 5 minutes. Like, yeah, I don't even smell the dank anymore.
You adjust to it. So there it is, man. That is the explanation of the dank. Studios.
I definitely say we should... you know, do something about this abusive Draven star. I say we all go on Facebook and change our picture to a little doll. And if you don't change your thing, you're like in support of the doom doll being beaten.
Yeah, that's not right. I'm all for this. We're going to take this picture. I'm going to put it on Facebook so you can all take it to your friends and show them on your phone. It's going to say, this poor woman was almost raped.
Nearly.
Thank God.
She went willingly.
The rape axe condom with her.
The rape axe.
You know, we did see a porno with her. She was doing a lot of anal.
There was no rape axe up there.
You know how I know she was doing anal? You're gonna think it's because the guy was sticking his dick in her butt. But it's not that.
What was it?
I knew that she was having anal sex because she kept saying, "Oh, your dick is in my ass. Oh, your dick is in my ass."
Oh, your dick is in my ass.
The man is in the way of himself, right?
Right.
So you can't tell where he actually is.
Right.
So she's saying, she's not like telling him, she's telling us. But she's sharing with, your dick is in my ass.
Your dick.
It is.
Your dick is in.
It's in. It's not around. It's not in juxtaposition. Your dick is in juxtaposition to my ass.
It's not a three quarters quartering away.
No.
It's not coming head on. It's in.
Yeah.
It's not like, you're almost there. It's not getting a little brown eye on your clown eye.
Yes.
No, it's in there.
It's in. Your dick is in my ass. Do you think she does one of them hockaloogies on the dick?
I bet you.
My spit is on your cock.
Now you can stick it in my ass.
Do you like that? Did you ever get that?
No.
I don't. Is that? Do you find that repulsive when you watch a porno and a chick's just like... I don't know about you, but if a chick ever did that to me, I would instantly go, what the fuck?
Yeah, I never really thought about it. But now
that's like a very fucking common. I see that a lot. And then, like, every time I see it, I'm like, what the fuck?
Beermeister, what's your opinion?
Shows commitment.
Commitment?
Jesus. I think he's got a boner. He's so excited about this. Hey, Beermeister, put your pants back on. This guy's crazy.
We love the Beermeister.
He's great. I love the Beermeister. You know, he's like our towelie.
If you go to the pool, don't forget your towel. Want to get high? Don't forget your Beermeister. If you go to the Books, Beer, and Bullshit podcast, don't forget your bottle.
Beermeister. Can we get a hidey-ho out of the Beermeister?
Hidey-ho.
Hidey-ho.
He's just uncontrollable. I think we need a straitjacket.
So anyway.
Yeah, save the doom doll's legs. We're going to start a campaign.
All right.
We're bringing her back.
Bringing her back on Bitchface.
Right. We've ignored her, and she's just hit rock bottom, it seems, and she's getting her legs beaten apart, and she's getting a dick in her ass.
So go to doomdoll.com.
Doomdoll.com and buy her something. I'm sure if you
buy something off the Draven Star Fire Shit Memorial fucking.
That's right. So, I mean, that's about what we got tonight. I mean, we had a pretty fucking full episode.
Yeah, it seems like a wrap.
Don't forget, we are on Stitcher.
We are.
It's a great way to listen to us.
Which way do you listen to us, Beermeister?
Stitcher.
He listened to us on Stitcher. And if you're, you know, the Beermeister was explaining to us, he's missed the first few episodes. Because Stitcher doesn't list all our episodes. Our older ones don't get listed, you know, after a while.
Right.
So you can always go to booksbeerbullshit.podbean.com. All our episodes are available there. And we are on Facebook. This is a mouthful, I assure you. It's facebook.com/booksbeerandbullshitpodcast. Don't ever hit the space bar when you do that.
Never. No spaces. One word.
Hit us up. And we are also on Twitter. We are at booksbeerbs on Twitter.
At. All right. So anyway.
Your finger is in my eye socket.
My cock is in my pants.
Your hemorrhoid is brushing my earlobe.
Your dingleberries are rubbing my taint.
Don't forget Kevin Strange and his Strange House books. Strangehousebooks.com. Go get some Strange House books on Amazon currently.
That's it.
So go to strangehousebooks.com. Totally read Beer Run of the Dead. If you're only going to buy one, get Beer Run of the Dead.
Beer Run of the Dead. Buy it now. Buy it often. Buy it for all your friends.
That's right. Until next time, constant listener.
Constant listener. We need the Beer Meister. Say goodbye, Beer Meister.
Later.
The Boston accents.
Boston accents?
Yeah, what the hell was that about?
Love your Boston accents, dude.
Dude, we're Jersey, yo.
Oh, your cock's in my ass. Yeah, your cock's in my ass.